CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going to low Earth orbit on the ISS in a module known as Vesta. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Bob, the cracks that you first reported months ago in Zvezda.
Years ago, John.
Have turned into an unsolvable challenge for Roscosmos and for the ISS. So what is to be done with Zvezda? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, you know, there's three different stories related to Russia that we're going to talk about here, and they're all linked in some manner. The big story, which is not what the press will be reporting other than us, John, the big story is that Russia has admitted this week that they are no longer going to use the docking port on the Zvezda module. The docking port is at the aft end of that module. It's in a section of the module that is where they've located all the stress fractures and where all the air leaks have come from. And they can shut off that section of the module so they don't use it, and also, therefore, cut off any more air leaks by shutting it, which means they don't have a docking port. It reduces the number of docking ports the Russians have presently on the station to just two. Now, they have a module going up. It's a docking hub that's going to be attached to their new module, Nauka, in November, and that will give them additional four more ports. But right now they're limited to two because they've closed off Zvezda. Now, what has to be understood about this is really underlining the impending end of ISS. Because Zvezda is not the only old Russian module on ISS where they found stress fractures. Zvezda is about 21 years old. It was launched around 2000. But the oldest module, Zarya, it's about 23 years old, and they have found some cracks in that as well. And so we're looking at the potential end of the Russian half of the station, no matter what happens. And since the U.S. part has none of these problems, but is designed to rely on the Russian half for its operations, and if Russia must shut down its modules, then the station is not going to be able to function for much longer. Now, we will hopefully overcome this issue by having the commercial private modules launched to ISS in 24, and that will eventually evolve into an independent station, independent from ISS, which means we then can retire ISS. I don't know about the Russians. They want to make money, and this is the next story. They want to make money on a space station by bringing tourists up there. But if they say they're going to build a new station, but they have not completed a new module for a space station now in almost a quarter century. Nauka, though it was only launched this year, was built in the 90s and then experienced numerous delays because of quality control problems. So whether they can get a new station built is an entirely different story, John. This is where we stand. The ISS is coming to its end. There's no doubt about it.
And, Bob, the ISS story will change over these next years, right? Because we've talked about it becoming a commercial destination for tourism.
Yeah. Let's talk about the next Russian story. The Russians, early Tuesday morning this week, launched a movie director and an actor to ISS using their Soyuz 2 rocket and a Soyuz capsule, with a third astronaut as a professional to fly the thing. And they're going to be up there, the female actress and this movie director, going to be there for about 12 days to shoot a movie for a science fiction movie that they're going to release next year. It's the first film being shot on in space in zero gravity. And this is the second in the string of commercial tourist flights that are going on, beginning with the Inspiration 4 flight that happened last month. You're going to get two more in December, one by the Russians, another by SpaceX. And you're going to get another in January, February by Axiom using SpaceX's Dragon capsule. And then there's three more at least signed up over the next 2 years, plus the Axiom port. So this is just part of it. And the Russians are up there on a station that they've had a closed part because there are cracks. And that takes us to the third story, John, which is apparently sometime this week, or a month ago, they imposed new restrictions on any reporting about Roscosmos' operations in space by Russian citizens. These new regulations, which took effect at the end of September, essentially, prohibit Russians from reporting on their space program outside of Russia. If they violate these regulations, they're going to be classified as foreign agents, which will make it really difficult to come back to Russia. And it's basically designed to prevent anyone from publishing anything that Roscosmos does not officially release. And that makes, that's interesting because there are a lot of things in Russia that affect us that this basically will prevent us from finding out. That's the story, John.
Roscosmos has never been a transparent organization, Bob.
No, it hasn't. But since the fall of the Soviet Union, it became much easier to find out information because Russian citizens would talk to Americans who we were partnering with them. So there's lots of cross-communication. And, you know, you had Russian citizens in foreign countries acting as go-betweens, providing information. And they're trying to shut that down now.
All right, here's the puzzle.
Not a good sign.
Here's the puzzle. We're still going to depend upon Russia for every once in a while a ride to the ISS, correct, Bob?
No, actually not. That's not the case. We have one astronaut on ISS right now. He's going to be up there for about 11 months. He's coming back on a Soyuz next March. But he was a stopgap waiting for the Boeing spacecraft to fly. And as hopefully the Boeing Starliner craft will finally get going next year, we can hope. It's really years behind schedule. But even if they don't fly, SpaceX could easily pick up the entire slack.
All right.
We should not have to buy from them anymore.
All right. I just mentioned purchasing from a non-transparent space agency is unwise.
Not
when
a good
things go wrong. All right, we go to another Hollywood story? Yes. Another Hollywood story? Yes. This Hollywood story is one to beam up. What's happened?
Well, okay. As you know, Blue Origin has its suborbital spacecraft, New Shepard, and they instigated commercial flights in July with their first commercial flight, passenger flight, with Jeff Bezos and his brother on board. Well, they have now announced, they announced last week two passengers on this next commercial passenger flight. But this week they topped it. They announced the next two passengers, and one of those is going to be Captain Kirk. William Shatner of Star Trek is going to fly on August 12th on New Shepard suborbital flight. He will get to go to space. Shatner had previously talked with Richard Branson about flying on Virgin Galactic's spacecraft, the suborbital craft, and Richard Branson wanted to charge him money for it, and he said, nope, I have better things to do with my money. So I think in this case, this is Jeff Bezos getting Shatner into space for the public relations, no charge, and that would make great sense for Blue Origin.
Wait a minute. You went too fast there. Branson was going to charge Shatner? It should be the other way around.
Oh, absolutely. That's what Shatner said. Shatner said, no, you should pay me to go. I'm not going to give you any money. The publicity from me would be great. So he didn't go on Virgin Galactic. I wouldn't have anyway at this point. But so obviously they haven't said how much it costs. So I suspect very much William Shatner is flying for free. Blue Origin. They might even be paying Shatner for a week.
Yeah, right.
He's 90
right.
years old. He's going to be in space. He's going to be the oldest person ever to get into space.
And the photographs and the mementos, everything, Bob. I mean, it's Captain.
Yeah, it's valuable.
I wonder if Branson knew who he was. I wonder. I mean,
who knows?
Yeah.
All I know is that it's a smart move for Blue Origin to do.
And for Shatner. All right, Worldview. What is that, Bob?
Well, Worldview is a Tucson-based high-altitude balloon company. A few years ago, you might remember me talking about them. They were proposing to put passengers up on long, six-hour, high-altitude balloon flights that would have you see the curve of the Earth. You'd be really near space. You wouldn't be officially in space, but you'd be high enough that it's pretty much the same. Well, the original founders of that company were kicked out. There was a new CEO. He said, nope, we're going to focus on reconnaissance and surveillance for the military. Well, this week he announced, nope, we've changed our mind. They're looking at the suborbital traffic that's going on, and they see the demand might be high. So they're now going to go back and do the same thing. They're going to try to do tourist flights on their balloons. They're going to build – they're basically reinstituting the plans they had before, and they're going to charge $50,000 per ticket, which is about a tenth the cost for about, I don't know, many, many more, 5 minutes versus 6 hours up there. So that's what they're arguing for. They're selling. They will maybe the second company in the U.S. doing this now because the people that were kicked out of Worldview has formed their own company, Space Perspectives, out of Florida to do the exact same thing. So we got competition in the high-altitude balloon business too, John.
UAE, Bob, I mean, for a little bitty country, this is the mouse that roars.
Yes, the United Arab Emirates, which has an orbiter around Mars right now and is planning a lander on the moon, unmanned lander, they announced this week that they are going to fly an unmanned probe to visit a number of asteroids in the asteroid belt. It'll launch in 28. It'll be a five-year trip in which they will fly past Venus and then the Earth to get out to the asteroid belt. This is a variation, basically, of the Lucy mission that's about to launch the United States mission to go to visit multiple asteroids in the asteroid belt. It's ambitious on their part, but you know what? This is the kind of thing that they wanted to learn how to do with the Mars probe, Alamal, and now they've learned something about it, and they're running it. They now think they can do better things, and that's all power to them, John. They've got the cash.
I agree, and everybody loves a mouse that roars. Italy, from Ariane Space to SpaceX. Wow, Bob, that's quite a spot.
Yes. Italy had a payload it wants to get into space, and they recently announced that it's an Earth observation satellite, and they recently announced that they've pulled the contract from Ariane Space, and they're instead going to be launched by SpaceX. And what's significant about this is multiple things. Italy is part of the European Space Agency. Ariane Space is the official biz company that's supposed to launch all European Space Agency payloads. Italy is a big partner in Ariane Space. It builds basically the Vega rockets that Ariane Space launches. Yet, two launch failures of Vega, which is built mostly in Italy, has now forced the Italian Space Agency to switch out of Ariane Space and take SpaceX. This brings up the fact that the Ariane Space has refused to admit that it needs to step up its game to compete with SpaceX. 5 years ago, they decided to do a new generation Ariane 6 rocket. But even though SpaceX was doing reusability, they did not introduce reusability into it. It's too expensive. Nobody in the European Space Agency wants to fly on it. So they got a new rocket that no one wants to fly, and Italy is making the point, we're not going to fly on it. We're going to go to SpaceX. Competition is important. If you don't, you're out, you're dead in the water if you don't compete.
And Blue Origin, a company that you have identified as mysterious or troubled or non-transparent, or we're not sure that it really wants to go to the moon and Mars. What is this? What are the changes that are underway, Bob?
Well, there aren't changes. This is a story of something that happened 3 years ago. Shortly after, in 17, Bezos hired a new CEO, Bob Smith. And shortly after he took over, he had an outside consulting firm do an analysis of the management culture at Blue Origin. And then he had a meeting with all his top managers to discuss the results of that analysis. And this is in 2018. And this has just been released. Insider released screen captures of the notes the management took during that briefing. And it appears that all the managers were telling Bob Smith that they really have to start doing things like SpaceX, that we're working too slow, we're not working aggressively enough, we're not estimating our costs properly, we're not trying to make things efficient, we're not working fast. I could go on and on and on. And SpaceX is showing us some of the ways we should do this. Well, what's interesting about this is 2018. We just released now this information. It appears that Bob Smith basically listened to this briefing and then did nothing, because the next 3 years they changed none of these things. The company continues to work slowly. Its management is not very aggressive. They don't care about costs. And it's a sad thing. The situation right now is that Jeff Bezos has got to save this company or it's going to die.
And Bob, Blue Origin is actually in the commercial business. It's doing the suborbital flights. But what is the expectation of beyond suborbital? Do they have a plan or a calendar for the moon?
They have a new rocket, an orbital rocket they call New Glenn, which they were supposed to launch in 2020. It is now delayed. It's almost certainly not going to launch next year in 2022. And it might not launch until 2023. It's dependent on their BE-4 engine, which they are now 2 years late in delivering to ULA as well, which needs it for its Vulcan rocket. And so this is a company that's got problems. They have not been able to launch anything orbital. So they got the suborbital flights. That's great. They make money from it. But the long-term goal was to be an orbital company that can put payloads into space. And they are not that yet by any means.
Right. Some people are Disney World, other people's are 2001. I understand. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring This is CBS Eye on the World.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.